You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Good morning, Wrestling Inc. It is me, your managing editor of Wrestling Inc., Nick Housman, back with another episode of The Weekly, and I am joined here as I am just about every Wednesday by my good friend, Justin Labar. Justin, welcome back to The Weekly.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm still suffering from some blown out vocal cord issues, so if it continues to sound like a soft jazz radio station this week on The Weekly, that's the reason for that. I can't emote like I'm accustomed to. It's actually like physically uncomfortable for me to not be able to do that.
I was going to say, that's probably your weakest Good Morning Wrestling Inc. that I've heard.
Yeah, it was pretty soft. So next week, we're going to get back to it. I'm going to have that energy. But, you know, here's the thing. Just because you don't hear it in my voice doesn't mean in my cockles, in my subcockles, I have a lot of vigor and venom, because this has been a very busy week for pro wrestling news. Justin, I'm looking at our news segment here for just the last 24 hours, and I think this is the meatiest Wednesday episode of The Weekly we'll have ever done. There's so much stuff we have to get to here today.
It's a lengthy run sheet.
It is. So we'll get to the news here in just a second. After the news, we got some special interviews and audio for you. Right after the news block, you're going to hear my interview that I did just last night with none other than Rob Van Dam. RVD is going to be on the show here. Of course, Impact Wrestling, they're going to be in Vegas this past weekend, which I found out in this interview is Rob's new hometown. He now lives in Vegas with Katie Forbes. So they're going to Vegas this weekend. Rob's going to talk about his time at Impact here and a lot more. Right after RVD, you're going to hear from our own Michael Weissman. He sat down with Fred Rosser, a.k.a. Darren Young, at StarCast 3. So we got the full audio for you of that here today. And we're going to start airing more of the scrums. We have all the scrum audio. We want to get it out there. So you're going to get not just two interviews, but you're going to get even more audio content, as you're going to get the full audio from the StarCast 3 media scrum with AEW Sammy Guevara. So you get RVD, Darren Young, Sammy Guevara. This is a beautiful pro wrestling stew we've got cooking here today, Justin.
Stew on the stove.
Stew on the stove. Why is that so fun to say? I don't know. All right, let's get to it here. I think that's the most I've emoted with my voice in about a week. There are like 4 days at least. That kind of hurt. All right, here we go. News you can use. News that'll leave a bruise. Big news of the past 24 hours has been this Chris Jericho AEW World Championship story. The story broke like literally almost exactly after we got off the air yesterday with the Winkley. So let me run you through what has happened here in this 24-hour saga. So it originally was reported that I saw it pop up on Twitter, Chris Jericho's belt may have been lost or stolen. Well, an official police report from the Tallahassee Police Department came out, and here's what it says. It says, the victim reported the theft of his championship wrestling belt while he was eating inside Longhorn Steakhouse. The victim stated he arrived at the Millionaire Club airport terminal and placed the belt inside his rented limousine. The limo driver shuttled the victim to Longhorn for dinner. The victim remained at Longhorn while the limo driver returned to the airport. The victim had taken the wrong luggage from the airport, and the driver took it back to the terminal. When the driver picked up the victim from the restaurant, the belt was missing. Responding officers searched the limo and airport for the belt without success. On call, CID was consulted, and forensics responded to the scene. The report listed
forensics.
The report listed Jericho as the victim under his real name, Christopher Irvine. So we'll put a button in that for just a second here. I mean, the main takeaways are the things that have been said a dozen times in the past 24 hours. Who takes a limousine to a Longhorn Steakhouse, right? That's ridiculous.
Well, and who doesn't wear the title inside of the Longhorn Steakhouse? Come on now, Ric Flair would have.
I agree. I mean, it does seem a little risky to leave the title in a limousine. But I guess at the same time, like, you think your limo driver's like the security guy, but it sounds like the driver had to leave the limo for a while here to go get this lost luggage. And I'm going to imagine that's when the break-in occurred. I mean, I don't know, but I would imagine.
Well, no. Well, what also isn't clear is that I don't think the title belt necessarily was just laying loose in the limo. I think it was probably in Jericho's. Jericho probably went to put it in the suitcase. That's when he realized, oh, I have the wrong suitcase. I don't know. There's a lot of holes to this mystery.
Yeah, there is. And also the hole to the mystery here is with the Millionaire Club airport terminal. I know a lot of people out there have been trying to do their own, investigator snooping around. Nobody seems to have been able to identify a Millionaire Club. So I'm left to assume that this is just something that Jericho thought that was the club because he is a millionaire. And so that's the club he was at the airport.
Well, do we know, is this a commercial public airport? Is this, or like, did he fly private? Is this like a private, like where other private planes would be, other private people?
I have to imagine it was a private plane because like the day after on Sunday, he took a private plane. He posted a photo with himself with the belt outside of a private plane. I'm going to imagine he took that plane to Tallahassee because according to PW Insider, the theft took place on Sunday night. So I can't imagine, unless he was truly jet setting using multiple.
And why did he fly to Tallahassee? AEW is based in Jacksonville, and I think he lives in Tampa. So why the hell would he go to Tallahassee?
Maybe Tallahassee had an airstrip he could land in because it's a private plane.
You're telling me Jacksonville or Tampa doesn't have a private strip for him to land in?
Maybe it was convenient. I don't know, man. I'm just.
Maybe he really likes that Longhorn in Tallahassee. There's just something about the cut of steak on that one.
Woo! The AEW champ only parties in one place, the Longhorn Steakhouse in Tallahassee, Florida. Everybody's getting shots. All right, now let's continue down this journey. So that was just the police report. Now, the Observer is reporting, for those that are wondering, yes, AEW does have a second belt, a backup belt. Because they're not idiots. So if this had genuinely been taken and not found, they did have another belt ready to go for when they go on TV. So that wasn't a worry. Now, Jericho released this video where he's sitting in a hot tub drinking the bubbly, commenting on the theft. And he, I won't read everything he wrote. I'll just read the part of importance related to the belt. He says, I'm launching a worldwide investigation using the top private investigators in the world today to find out who committed this crime. Trust me, as the AEW champion, I promise to regain and restore and find and reclaim the AEW championship and once again give you another reason to finally give me the thank you that I deserve. You're welcome. Did you watch the video, Justin?
I did.
It's hilarious, isn't it? I mean, this is a really interesting kind of grandstanding. I brought this up in the Killer Cross interview a couple months ago when he called out Moxley, and I was like, were you worried that Moxley wouldn't, like, accept your challenge, and then you have mud on your face? I equally believe here that unless he knew the belt was going to be found, had been found, little interesting here to grandstand that I'm going to find this title, because maybe you don't, because this is a legitimate burglary to the best of my knowledge, correct?
Yeah, when I watched the video, that was one of the first things. I mean, I was laughing and enjoying it for the entertainment purposes, but one of the first things I then said to myself was, they have to have already have located it and found it. Now they're just going to go ahead and ride this publicity wave.
Yes, I agree with that. And the story on that note took a strange turn yesterday after the Tallahassee Police Department announced on Facebook that the title belt had been found. But for whatever reason, they deleted that post and the investigators on the record said that the case remained open. But oddly here, AEW then took a screenshot of that post that features the officer with the belt saying, we found something that we think is yours. And they wrote, case solved, thank you, Tally PD. So it does appear this belt has been found. It is back with Chris Jericho. We don't know exactly how it got lost or stolen or whatever. I'm imagining we're going to know that here probably by tomorrow's Winkly or just after the weekend. But there it is, 24 hours from lost to found, a whole cycle of emotions here. What can we glean from this incident?
If it was a commercial airport, how great would it be that you the AEW championship title that was just, you know, that was just crowned on the first winner a night before, it's just sitting in like Delta's lost luggage room.
Yeah.
It's great.
I wonder if it wasn't like in the, I don't know, you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see, but good on everybody who did this. I saw one person tweet out, I don't remember exactly who it was, but they used the phrase, AEW really knows how to lean in situations like this. And I think that's a really good observation here is AEW, with everything that happens to them, people pull out, people get sick, people get injured, belts get lost. They always seem to be able to make a joke out of it and not lose any momentum. If anything, they seem to be able to take advantage of these situations and create even more PR for themselves, to the point that people genuinely seemed to, some people thought this could be a work for some reason, which I mean, obviously it's not.
Well, yeah, I mean, when I first read this, you think maybe this is a work. I mean, how many times we've seen a guy steal a title belt in a storyline? But when you see when it was uncovered that there actually was a police report, that kind of tells you, okay, this got some legitimacy to it. I think that observation is spot on with their ability to capitalize on the PR and spin things in a positive way. And I think, I think you know, they have the luxury of learning and watching what has and has not worked for WWE and the mistakes WWE has made as the media world and media coverage of pro wrestling constantly is evolving. And you know, you and I are in the thick of. I think one of the things they've learned, and AEW's policy's kind of been, and I talked to Brandi Rhodes about this a week or two ago, is they're just kind of very forthcoming. I mean, obviously they're not going to like give away the finishes of matches, and they're not going to comment and on every rumor or reveal every surprise, but like. They just kind of, you know, everything from the media scrums of which, you know, you were involved in this past weekend to, I mean, you know, Tony Khan's, I know, following a lot of us on Twitter, like, and he's very, you know, I've DM'd with him, like, and I know others, and like has, like, just, they're just being open. They're just kind of like, rather than where WWE is always, or not always, but they're getting better with it. But WWE has a bad habit sometimes of just not getting ahead of the story, whatever the story might be. AEW is just kind of embracing and kind of saying, look, you know, things are out there. People are going to find things out. We just kind of have to roll with it and just do the best we can. And so far, they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. And it was funny, too, because on top of the all the fervor here last night on SmackDown, Corey Graves even worked in a line after Drake Maverick won the title back about how he was going to go take his wife in a limousine to a chain restaurant. So, you know, the kind of cherry on the top of that story. What's amazing to me is just how this story flared up and was resolved within the period of me doing both of these weekly episodes. I think that's hilarious. So,
yeah, I mean, and again, that's good on AEW. The thing was already solved, and they just decided, okay, it's out there on the internet. Let's just let it play out.
Yeah, good on them. Well, also from the world of AEW, their countdown to All Out preview special drew 390,000 viewers this past Friday night on TNT, where it aired at 10 p.m. Eastern. It was announced on less than 48 hours' notice. It ranked number 29 in the cable top 50 for the 18 to 49 demo on a Friday night. And, you know, without really any, I mean, as just the first bit of raw data here for AEW, I mean, this seems like a pretty strong number to me. I mean, this isn't like live wrestling. This isn't like anything's new. It's just a recap. If you're an AEW fan, you've probably seen all this stuff. If you're a casual fan, let's hope it can grab some people. Short notice. I mean, looks good to me. What do you think, Justin?
Yeah, late night, Friday night. I just said no live original programming of wrestling, and you know, with minimal advertisement and notice about it. Yeah, I mean that's a good sign of just the amount of households that TNT's in, that people just probably stumbled upon it and have seen these AEW promotions that are happening. You know, when you watch sports on TNT or that are just happening across the Bleacher Report and Turner networks, and yeah, so just stumbled upon and just getting the first taste of okay, what is this? What is this new thing that's coming to TNT soon? So I, yeah, that's, you know, that's not a huge number in terms of in the grand scheme of things. But if we look at it relative, you know, relatively speaking, it's pretty impressive.
Now, what do you think? Do you think that this episode did 20% of the interest for the debut? What percentage do you think this would be of how many times we could multiply this number to get the action?
I don't know offhand what the percentage would be, but I don't have any doubt that I feel pretty strongly that their first episode on TNT will definitely be over a million viewers.
Over, okay, because if this was 20%, it would be, I believe, just under 2 million viewers if I did the numbers right in my head. So.
Yeah, I mean, I figure the, you know, even the lowest viewed SmackDowns and Raws, you know, do about 2 million. So yeah. I think that AEW out the gate on TNT with the homes that it reaches, I think out the gate they can definitely hit a million.
Okay, you say a million, I'll go a little closer to two. You know, I'm really interested. This thing could be a floodgate situation. Who knows?
What if it comes out and it does like 3 million, which is like the best that Raw does anymore right now?
I'm very interested, because here's the thing about AEW, especially if you've been to any of the events and stuff, it's just how wide the demo is for this. How wide the span is for people that are interested. It's all over the country here. I know ticket sales slowed down a little bit when they got to, I believe it was Baltimore and was that their team?
Pittsburgh. Here in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh and Charleston actually have not sold out, so they slowed up here.
That's right. Baltimore's where their next pay-per-view will be. I'm sure that'll sell out. But, yeah, you know, the tickets slowed down a little bit here, but I think a couple good episodes out the gate here, you're going to see those pick back up again. So, yeah, you know, it's a very big fan base, a lot bigger than I think a lot of people would realize. So, you know, who knows? And in the world of lastly here at AEW, we brought up the Baltimore Full Gear AEW pay-per-view. Conrad Thompson made it official last night on Twitter. Starcast for coming to Baltimore. The convention will run from Thursday, November 7th through Sunday, November 10th. It'll be with the help from Jimmy's Famous Seafood, which often welcomes pro wrestlers when they are in town. So very excited. And Conrad here, I don't know that he can stop now. I think he's got a little taste of it. This one definitely felt like it ran. This StarCast felt like it ran better to me, even with, of course, like some of the scheduling headaches. This one, I thought, ran very well, and it seemed like it could have been more profitable, I think, for Conrad this time around.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously making money off this, or he wouldn't still be doing it. I mean, that's that, and he must be making money off of it because all that goes into coordinating these StarCast events, and to do another one just 2 months later with the quick turnaround, that's going to be a chore, but the money must be good. So
yeah, well, I already put in the request to bring StarCast Improv back. That thing was an effing blast, Justin. I got to bring you up on stage to do some comedy with you.
Yeah, it went well.
Oh, dude was great. It was amazing. Yeah, very very popular. So we'll see. We'll maybe bring that back. You know who really wants to do the StarCast Improv with me? That we couldn't make it work this time because he had a wrestling thing down the road, but he got really, really excited about it, was Killer Cross. Killer Cross, I guess, was a theater kid in high school and loves doing short-form improv, and very optimistic that I'm going to be able to do some comedy with Killer Cross here pretty soon.
You should improv something and make him bleed.
I should. Oh, man. We'll get to okay, that's later. We've got to get through the WWE news first. We'll talk about Cross a little bit more here in a little bit. All right, let's switch gears here. We got all the AEW top block today. Top block, all AEW news. So let's get to the WWE news here. SmackDown was last night, ended in dramatic fashion as Eric Rowan turned on Daniel Bryan. He laid out Bryan and Roman Reigns to close the show. He admitted to the attacks on Roman Reigns, saying he enjoyed it. He was proud of it. And it's been announced that he's going to take on Roman Reigns at Clash of Champions. What did you think of the finish here to SmackDown last night, Justin?
I'm so confused.
Okay, why are you confused?
Okay, so Rowan admits it was him. He's the one that pushed the scaffolding, the boxes over. He's the one that drove the car. So he did it. So how does the other red bearded guy come into the fold that did it? Did Rowan tell Daniel Bryan, I found this red bearded guy, this is the guy that did it? And he obviously is being confused for me. And then, like, is Daniel Bryan a babyface? Or is this all like one big, is this still one big setup that Brian's still in on? Like, I don't know. I'm like, they're starting to outswerve themselves, I think.
Well, but that's the thing, is this kept the pattern going of like, you think you know all the answers, but you still have questions, right? And that's kind of how SmackDown's been, and largely I think it's worked out pretty well. You know, it seems to be creating some interesting television. I didn't hate it, but I do, in the back of my mind, I gotta think that him and Brian are still in cahoots together. I think this was all orchestrated,
even though he chokeslam Brian through a table.
Yeah, I think I think Brian sacrificed himself because he's an absolute psychopath.
Okay, I mean, I'm not. They haven't lost me. I'm still going to tune in next week, and I'm going to, you know, and from the wrestling standpoint, it's good for Rowan to get a pay per view match against Roman Reigns, and this is good for Roman Reigns that he's been able to be so distanced from title picture. So this has all been refreshing from a booking standpoint. I am just a little bit confused, but maybe again, maybe this will all come together and it'll be a moment of aha, now I understand.
Yeah, who knows? And if nothing else, it's just Eric Rowan off the chain, and he's a big dude who's never really gotten an opportunity. You know, SmackDown really does seem to be the land of opportunity right now, right? You know, you got him breaking out. Last night, let's get to the King of the Ring brackets. You know, Chad Gable defeated Andrade, big win for him. Elias beat Ali. We're going to see Elias versus Gable in the King of the Ring semifinals next week on SmackDown from MSG. Winner of that's going to take on Joe versus Corbin versus Ricochet. I mean, I do genuinely feel in the last month and a half or so, there's been a concerted effort on trying to heat up some talent that has been sitting on the side or make talent that really hasn't been used, period. And it's very refreshing, especially with the Gable stuff. You know, this guy, he was made last night on SmackDown. The audience 100 times more into this guy after this win after over Andrade. And the stuff about everybody walking around calling him small and picking on him like he's a little Rey Mysterio there. I think it if he overcomes the odds, it makes him look good, and it was just a home run. I thought they did a great job by Gable last night.
Yeah, I mean, his victory was pop of the night by that crowd. Great job by Andrade and Zelina Vega for helping make him. I mean, Zelina doing the old-fashioned distract the ref while Gable looks to have the pin. You know, I thought for sure, okay, well, Gable's getting ready to lose. And then that just heightened the suspense and the thrill even more when he did pull out the victory. So, yeah, this was and I agree. It does feel like they are starting to heat up some more talents. They're giving some more, you know, I mean, unrelated to the King of the Ring, Aleister Black, again, looked like a stud last night in his match against Shelton Benjamin. And they seem to be, you know, positioning him to be a major player, you know, kind of a slow burn, but still positioning him. Obviously, I'm sure you talked about yesterday, The Fiend, you know, what they're doing there and the rumors there with what we think's happening with the title. So, I mean, they are. They does feel like they realize they got to change some things up here.
Yeah. You know, even Andrade and Ali here, you know, they've been getting a nice steady push here for the past couple of weeks. I think that them using this moment here to bring Elias and Gable up with them to continue to flush out that strong SmackDown roster. Just I was just a really big fan of everything. I think this King of the Ring tournament's been really good. Everybody's, you know, my opinion originally was Andrade Ricochet, since it doesn't seem to be going that route. A lot of buzz around a potential Gable versus Corbin finals. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's either Gable, Corbin, or it's for the finals, or it's Ricochet, Elias at this point. And I mean, I still, you know, the start of it, I kind of said I felt the winner of Drew McIntyre versus Ricochet was a prime candidate to win the whole thing. So Ricochet I still kind of feel that way for him. I do prefer heels to be King of the Ring more so than babyfaces. But I still think Ricochet is probably the favorite in my mind at the moment.
Do you think we could get a baby, like a Gable Ricochet match here with like an honorable finals for the King of the Ring?
They don't normally do that, but it would certainly be appropriate in the vein of what we just said and the fact that they're trying to heat up some stars. So, that would be appropriate to see these two guys who are, you know, either one, it's like, okay, either one is going to be, either one is going to be a stud here out of this. So I wouldn't be opposed to it. I don't think it, they still tend to kind of keep it heel babyface for these kind of things. But at this point, anything's possible. They seem to be shaking things up. So.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is you look at that raw momentum right now, especially for a guy like Gable, you know. Who knows? I don't know. Corbin Gable seems like it would be a perfect cherry on the top, right? Gable finally overcomes the biggest.
I don't know why they had Gable cut his hair, though. Usually those kind of appearance changes, you got to approve through the office. I don't know why. He looks so much better. He looked better with the longer hair. Well, because the longer, I mean, now with the shorter hair, he just looks like a short white guy, just in every other dude. Now he's phenomenal. He's a phenomenal athlete. He's great in the ring. So he doesn't look like just some other dude once he starts wrestling. But appearance wise, what's he look like walking through the airport? He just looks like another dude. He looks like an IT guy.
He looks more manly with the short hair. He looked like a little kid bouncing around in there with that long hair, in my opinion.
Adam, long hair. He at least looked more like a pro wrestler.
I don't know. all right, maybe an 80s wrestler. All right, lastly here in SmackDown land, the 24/7 title popped around a little bit last night. Bo Dallas briefly took the title from Drake Maverick in the Boiler Room. Drake then won it back in an impromptu melee in the ring as he was backing his way up to the ramp, and Corey Graves was throwing shade at Chris Jericho. R-Truth rolled him up to begin his 14th title reign. This is all, you know, this is what I worried about when it started up. It was great in the beginning. We're getting so much creative input. I feel like the creative focus has gone elsewhere, which is good. And now we're just getting a lot of random, like, brawls amongst a lot of people. I don't really know what's going on with the 24/7 title.
This thing's been going on for a number of months now. At what point does it either A, burn out, like, does it make it to Rumble, or B, does it actually become a title that's like a little bit more normal in the sense of like it's not constantly hot potatoed every week? Like, or at that point, does it even matter? Like, I don't know. I'm curious how many more times can R, like, at what point is R-Truth sneaking up and grabbing it in different ways? At what point does it stop being funny, or has it stopped being funny?
Yeah, and you know, that's the thing is you can't just do these melees because everything just kind of blends together. You have to have unique, interesting, funny. I mean, there used to be like sketches and stuff. There was like a lot of time put into this. I feel like the creative focus has just been pulled away a little bit here. I love Drake. I love Truth. I think that they've done a great job with this title. I can get why they're going to probably run this thing out until Truth holds the title 18 times, right? Just so you can say he's better than Ric Flair and John Cena or whatever. But at that point, then, I pull the trigger and I try this out on another person to see what they do with it. I don't know who that person is within WWE that would really benefit from a title like this, but you got to do something different than this. This has run its course, I think, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure, again, as competition creeps up and they have other numbers to look at, I'm sure they'll start to make decisions about, okay, are we best served to use segments like this?
Mm-hmm. TalkSport had an interview with Triple H recently, just a little tidbit coming out, coming out of that. Triple H said that the NXT UK series is the second most popular show on the network behind the main NXT series. He also confirmed that the plan is to do more UK takeover events in 2020, adding that the NXT UK takeover events on the schedule are they're going to add more events to the schedule as the brand grows. So with NXT going to USA, I know they're going to put the replay up the day after, I think, on the network. But this is going to this brings NXT UK, I think, into a more prime position here. It's nice. I think it's cool, too, the natural evolution of that. NXT up into the next thing that you've already had this other thing simmering here. This is a great brand with a great roster. I really do hope that they put more focus on it and start to build around it, because I do like the NXT UK brand quite a bit.
Yeah, you took the phrase right out of my mouth. I was going to say it. This feels like a natural evolution. Yeah, this is great. And the product's really good. And I'm not surprised to hear that it's number two on the network behind the main NXT. I mean, especially the thirst that the worldwide audience has to see some of these performers on NXT UK. So, this is great. And again, it's one more brand to have fun crossovers, like sending a Cesaro somewhere. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of it goes right in line with their mission and execution of opening more performance centers around the world. So this is good news for the life of NXT.
Now with NXT moving to USA and NXT UK NXT UK moving up, that would seemingly open up a space underneath NXT UK to get another brand kind of simmering here. Now, do you think we see another NXT international brand, or do you think we see something like Evolve stepping into that developmental role?
If I had to guess, I'd see something more like an Evolve stepping in, something that's already packaged and already being produced. The UK kind of encompasses a wide geographic area. I mean, if they were going to do another geographic, it's either Mexico or Japan, right?
Canada. I think there might be something to Lance Storm shutting down his academy at the end of the year. I wouldn't be surprised if they turned that whole gimmick into an NXT Canada performance center up there. Just throwing that out there.
I could see a performance center up there, and I do think there's probably something with the reason why. I think Lance has been successful, so for him to shut it down, you'd only assume that he has a bigger opportunity awaiting. I don't know if there would be a brand though of any. I don't want any Canadians to take. This is a compliment. I feel like the Canadian market is kind of intertwined with the American market. You know, I mean, they run Raw and SmackDown run in Canada on a semi-regular basis. I just don't see, like, there's a big ocean that separates, the NXT out of Orlando from obviously NXT UK. I feel like Canada's already kind of intertwined. I don't know if you need to like designate it as its own brand. I don't know. That's just me though. I mean, I think a performance center geographically located there makes sense because, for people that, live in that country to work out in, but I don't know if you need to create a whole brand around it. I think you just move and evolve into a spot.
All right. Yeah. And NXT Japan, I know, has been bandied about as well. As you said, Mexico, I'd see Japan before Mexico, but you never know. So food for thought. You can go debate that one in the comment section or something. Sin Cara tweeted out that it's time, implying he's going to be returning to the ring. The tweet also included a WWE Live along with the date September 27th. That WWE Live event takes place from his current hometown of El Paso, Texas. Sin Cara underwent knee surgery back in mid-August 2018 after a brief feud with Andrade. He was cleared to compete in March of this year, returned to the ring during the 50-man Battle Royal at Super Showdown, but that was the last we saw of him. So Sin Cara, I've heard things about Lucha House Party possibly looking to go elsewhere. I've not heard. I mean, they've tweeted out, I'm become a free agent, I think is what Kalisto said. So, if they are looking to bring in another luchador here and fill that void, this could be a good time for Sin Cara.
Yeah, Sin Cara to me is kind of like this era's WWE's Doink. They could just throw whoever under the mask the next 20 years and say barring tattoos, identifying tattoos. I mean, you could put Ricochet underneath a Sin Cara mask and he performed great as a Sin Cara. I mean, So yeah, Sin Cara coming back. It's crazy. Speaking of Sin Cara, if you think about the original one, what was it, Mystico? Mm-hmm. It's crazy to think like that was like the first in this era. That was like the first like branching out, grabbing, and you know, we see WWE obviously a lot now, as we just talked about all the different performance centers now, you know, going to be popping up. Like, you know, obviously WWE is very international. They're open to bringing in stars from other countries and even letting them keep their names in some cases. You know, grabbing Mystico and dubbing him Sin Cara and like all the hype that was behind that and the videos. I remember that. It was like, I think it was like a 2011, 2012-ish. And boy, what a flop it ended up turning out to be with the first guy. That's just amazing to think like that was the first one. It was such a flop, but they've done so well in most cases since then.
Dude, it was crazy because so like I did commentary for Warrior Wrestling 6 on Sunday night. And Caristico, that's his name now, formerly Mystico, formerly Sin Cara, was on the card. He was tagging with Ultimo Guerrero. And it was like a blast. First of all, like, it's just cool to like get to call that. But also, like, watching him in the ring, dude can go. He's really good, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, there was no question about how good he was. It just, it flopped for, there was a lot of things that seemed like a flop. I mean, he got hurt. And then they had somebody else be Sin Cara, and then it turned into being, you know, we had like Sin Cara, like we had two Sin Caras fighting each other, and they did they did like goofy lighting, I think, for his matches. Like it just, a lot of things just didn't resonate. I think injury was the biggest thing. They couldn't keep him out there regularly.
Sorry, it was Caristico versus Ultimo Guerrero versus Atlantis. It was a triple threat match. I was like, wait, they didn't tag. They fought each other. So, and that's available right now, by the way. Go over to highspots.com. Warrior Wrestling 6. Great show. All right, cheap plug. Lince Dorado, member of the Lucha House Party, he's been added to the WWE Cruiserweight title match at Clash of Champions to make it a triple threat. The match will now see Drew Gulak defend against Lince and Humberto Carrillo. The change was made after Lince defeated Carrillo in the main event of last night's 205 Live. Per the stipulation, Lince is now added to the Clash match. Man, I'm a big Gulak fan. I like him as champion. I am really sad that they don't give him more time on Raw and SmackDown to like establish who he is and what he's doing with the Cruiserweight title right now, because man, that division lives in a bubble at the moment. That Cruiserweight title, you know, I don't think it needs to be relegated just to 205 Live. I mean, I'd love to see the Cruiserweight title defended regularly on Raw or SmackDown. It'd be great.
Yeah, but it didn't go so well when they did it the first time around. I don't know. There's a lot of things that just didn't, I don't know. I mean, it's great action. I mean, you're right. It's never spoken about at all during Raw or SmackDown. They don't even utter the words Cruiserweight champion. Lince Dorado, by the way, is probably one of my favorite cruiserweights they have, so that's exciting just to see him added to the match. But you're right, it does live in a bubble.
Well, Barstool Sports spoke with Stephanie McMahon. Stephanie was asked who she thought was the most easily recognizable superstar of all time, and she debated a little bit. She said maybe Hogan, maybe Ric Flair, but ultimately she decided that The Rock, probably the most easily recognizable superstar of all time. You agree, disagree?
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's like Hollywood's leading man. The thing is, though, about that is that, like, if you show somebody a picture of Hulk Hogan, everybody knows that's Hulk Hogan, and you say, what does he do? Everybody goes, he's a wrestler. But more and more people, I'd imagine, you show them a picture of The Rock, they know that this is Dwayne Johnson, who's in all these blockbuster movies, and they probably even know that he's also referred to as The Rock. That's like his nickname. But, like, I don't know. I think more and more people just, you know, as more and more years go on that The Rock is away from WWE and he continues just to turn out just these blockbuster movies, and you look at him as, oh, he's just a movie star. I think more and more people are going to forget, especially, you know, people that are getting old, people that are kids that are getting old, they're going to forget or not even know that he was once a pro wrestler and that's where he got famous and then became an actor. I think they're always just gonna think, oh, he's just an actor. Like, what do you mean as a wrestler?
I don't know, man. What about like Andre the Giant, right? Like, you show somebody a photo of Andre the Giant, they'd be like, oh, that's Andre the Giant, what's he do? He's a pro wrestler.
I think to a certain generation of people, they would know Andre if you showed them. They definitely have heard the name. I don't know how many people though, if you said Andre the Giant, if you showed them a picture of a couple tall, you know, large people, if they could definitively know that one, like, I bet you. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. You can show a picture of Andre, show him a picture of, like, The Big Show, and find a couple other tall people. I don't know if they'd always be able to absolutely pick out who's Andre. I think to a certain generation, yes. But I think, again, as that generation is getting older and even dying off, and I don't think, you know. I think, you know, Hulk Hogan to me still, I think he's – I would say Hogan or The Rock. It would probably, in terms of just showing them a headshot, somebody would know that's who it is.
What about Cena? Just behind Rock? I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like most people know John Cena now.
Yeah, Cena's, but again, Cena's starting to become a lighter version of The Rock in the sense of the longer he's away from WWE, and he's starting to do more and more things with success in the mainstream world, whether it's hosting Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader or whether it's being in top Hollywood movies. More and more people are starting to go like, okay, this guy John Cena is famous and I know him and I see him in movies, I see him on TV, but they might start to forget like why he's famous in the first place.
Yeah. All right. Just wanted to have that discussion. I was kind of interested. All right. Producer, actor, and singer Lin-Manuel Miranda of Hamilton fame praised Cesaro on Twitter after revealing that he was in attendance for Saturday's NXT UK TakeOver Cardiff event, which saw Cesaro defeat Ilja Dragunov in singles action. He tweeted out, "Cesaro is my new religion." Dude spun his opponent for like a minute straight, to which Cesaro responded, "This is surreal and so cool. What can I say except you are welcome? And yes, I have the emoji for German, French, Italian flags versions in my playlist too. Thank you, Lin-Manuel." What a wacky world we live in. The creator, actor, producer of Hamilton, arguably the biggest musical of at least our generation, is a pro wrestling fan who would go to an NXT UK TakeOver event. Amazing. That's amazing.
I love it.
Love it. Love it. And he's got good taste here because he's a Cesaro fan. So he knows. He knows what's up. All right. Let's get to some non-WWE news here. We got three stories. The first one is a bit of a double story here. Now, Sports Illustrated reporting that Marty Scurll, his Ring of Honor contract is set to end in November. PW Insider, which has been reported, but I don't think we really talked about it on the show here, is reporting that Matt Taven's contract is up this month. He's the current Ring of Honor champion. Now, Ring of Honor has announced a number one contenders tournament, which you can go find the brackets for over online. But two big names could be departing here from Ring of Honor here in the next month, couple months here. Raises a lot of questions. You know, and again, I like Matt Taven. Matt Taven is great. He's a good friend of mine. But at the same time, I would be remiss to not point out how much momentum there was behind Marty going into that MSG event and how much people really wanted to have that moment here, right? I'm just kind of looking at the tea leaves where everything has fallen here. I think it would have been maybe a different, maybe more interesting choice to have put the title on Marty there, knowing you're going to have him longer than Matt Taven anyway, so that when Marty is writing this... right, okay. Now, when Marty is writing this wave, you can go to Matt, whose contract is coming up, and saying, Marty's red hot right now. You're going to be the guy to take the title off him if you will sign for three more years. And I think that I don't think we would be having this story right now.
Right. And then that makes a lot of sense. But instead, they didn't give Marty that moment at MSG. And now they're potentially going to lose both of them.
Yeah. And I just, you know, and again, it's like in that moment there, you got to have your finger on the pulse of what the fans want. Right. I don't think you'd have heard a lot of the stories you're hearing right now about ROH, you know, having some down numbers in certain markets and things like that, if they'd have just gone with it and said, hey, let's, you know, I get it. Maybe this guy's going to leave. Maybe this guy's even going to openly talk about how he's leaving. But for this moment in time, he's our action figure. We're going to put the title on him and, you know, again, use that to leverage one of your guys who, you know, is ultimately going to take the title off him and hopefully propel your business forward going from there, you know?
I agree. When I read all this news, it was a head scratcher for sure.
Well, of the people that are in the tournament bracket here, Marty's in the bracket, but I mean, Justin, I can't imagine that they would just now decide to put the title on Marty and do what I said, but you don't know. We don't know. Maybe Marty wins this tournament. Of the people listed in the tournament.
Well, if when they go to him and say, are you going to resign? If he says, I'll sign a 3-year deal if you give me the title and this amount of money, and then they will.
I doubt he does that. But if he did, okay, sure, good reasoning.
If he can get comparable or more money than what he thinks he's going to get at AEW or WWE, and that's assuming that both AEW and WWE want him, you know.
Well, I would imagine AEW wants him. They seemed, you know, I was at the Young Bucks, the BTE mailbag live. They did it at StarCast before the press conference, and they all had to go down the line and say who, if they could have any superstar or any wrestler right now from any company, even if they're signed, who would they want? I believe it was Matt Jackson who said Marty Scurll right away and was like, yeah, that's who I'd want, you know. So
there you go.
So, of the people listed in the bracket, one of them is PCO. I think they had a chance to do it in Canada a month or so ago. Again, it's just like, you know, I don't want to sit here and be an armchair booker and just be like, blah, blah, blah. But PCO is very hot right now. You know, he really loves this environment. I think he's the guy you toss this thing to and give it a shot here to rebuild around.
Yeah, I mean he's a freak. He's got a lot of buzz. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Another big freakish man we were talking about earlier, Killer Cross, apparently improv comedian Killer Cross, reportedly at odds with Impact Wrestling. So Impact, if you watch Impact, last time you saw Cross, he defeated Eddie Edwards in a First Blood match at Slammiversary, which was a real fun match. Now, Cross had a kendo stick jammed into his mouth during the match, which resulted in blood and the loss because it was a First Blood match. However, it turns out that the blood in his mouth was not actually his own blood. PWInsider.com reporting that Cross refused to blade during the match because there was no outside medical personnel in attendance. Impact was forced to track down fake blood hours before the show to book the match and the finish as planned. Cross hasn't been booked since then, and Impact is reportedly planning to remove him from the September 15th AAA event in New York amid concerns that Cross will soon be suing Impact Wrestling. No lawsuit has been filed as of this morning. I just saw Cross a couple days ago. None of this stuff came up. So I have no insight into what is actually happening here. But not a great story here. And for the record, fake blood, not very difficult to make. Two parts chocolate syrup, one part corn syrup, a little bit of red food dye. You can make it in 3 minutes. It's super easy. All right. Anyway, what do you make of this story here about Cross and Impact Wrestling, Justin?
Well, if the story is what it's being reported, if that's all accurate, I mean, you can't fault a guy for not wanting to blade, especially on that reason. The only fault that I could see you put on him is like unless he had agreed, yeah, I'll blade, I'll do this finish and everything, and then like last minute told them different. But then again, if he told them on the grounds of he thought that there would be medical people there, then there weren't. I mean, so there's a lot of factors, but I mean, at the heart of it, just knowing if that's the story that you just read, that's all accurate. I mean, you can't fault a guy for, again, not wanting to blade. I mean, that's, and like you said, it's not like fake blood is it's not like you got to go drilling for days to find it in the ground somewhere. I mean, it's easy to make I don't know. Not a good look on Impact, I don't think.
I'm just a little surprised. It's Slammiversary. This is basically their SummerSlam, right? And no medical personnel in attendance? That seems like bizarre to me. I don't know if I necessarily even 100% believe that. I can't believe you could do a wrestling show on that level and not have somebody there in case something goes wrong.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't even know what, I mean, there's all, every state's different in terms of like what state commission they get involved or how they get involved. I know here in Pennsylvania, when we run our shows, you either have to have, you have to have a medical person. It's like, if you don't have a hospital within 5 miles of your venue, then you have to have an ambulance and paramedic on site at the venue. Then, there's also like every state's different with what you need and what have you. I don't remember where Slammiversary was. Where was Slammiversary? New York?
Slammiversary, I think, yeah, it wasn't Vegas. Vegas was Slammiversary. I'm going to say New York. Let's say New York.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know offhand what New York's state policy is with the athletic commission and everything like that, but, I mean, that seems sketchy, as you said, to have a show of that size and not to have somebody, an outside medical person present. It's weird.
Yeah. All right, last non-AEW WWE news story here. Crime Stoppers El Paso reporting that Rocka Khan, former Impact Wrestling Knockout, is one of El Paso's most wanted fugitives for the week of August 25th, 2019. She is listed under the name of Trenisha Sims, a.k.a. Trenisha Biggers or Trenisha Williams, and has been charged with interference with child custody. No other information regarding Khan is given other than her age, height, weight, and features. Crime Stoppers is urging anyone with information on Rocka Khan to call 915-566-8477 and that they can remain anonymous and are eligible to receive a cash reward. Isn't this the woman that Kurt Angle like dated for a little bit?
I don't remember her at all. Don't remember her. When I read the story, I was like, I don't remember. I don't even recall who this person is.
A lot of traffic. A lot of people were interested. I guess anytime you write a wrestler's name and you're just like most wanted fugitive, that's going to generate some interest.
Well, when I saw most wanted fugitive and I saw a pro wrestler and female, I figured initially Sunny.
No, that's unfortunate. Well, it's not. That's good news. It wasn't Sunny this time.
That is good news.
My guest at this time is a former Impact, WWE, and ECW World Heavyweight Champion. He can be seen every Friday night as part of Impact Wrestling. It's Rob Van Dam. RVD, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Right on, man. Thanks for having me here and giving us a chance to let everybody know when RVD's coming out of the house.
Well, I'm very excited to chat, Rob. You've been on quite a run with Impact Wrestling. I just wanted to kind of start there. First of all, what brought you back to Impact Wrestling here in 2019?
The honest answer is business. You know, when business is good, I'm always happy to consider it, you know, and I have a really good deal from every standard with Impact Wrestling. You know, I think, and I don't mind talking about it a little bit because I think that that should give them some credibility. Everybody's talking about AEW and how WWE should be worried about them, but I happen to know that Impact Wrestling can afford RVD, and that's why I'm there, and I have a very friendly schedule in my favor because I don't want to be on the road all the time. So it seems like I'm on the road all the time, but I'm really not. It's just because I do their televisions. And you know what? They're very happy to have me too. So it's awesome. All the wrestlers, all the boys, they all come up to me and tell me how much they appreciate sharing a locker room with me because they grew up watching me. Sure. And a lot of them, the reason they wrestle is because they watched me. So I get a lot of love every which way. And the reason that I'm there is for the love they put in my pocket, to be honest. You know, that's the last about three years or so since a lot of people haven't seen me on television in the United States. I still have been wrestling about 10 to 12 matches a year, mostly overseas, Italy and the UK, London, England, around there, Scotland, and Australia. But and I still will do a little bit of that. But even when I do that, it's because of the business. So I'm not priced to be on the market because I don't want to be out there like my peers do wrestling 5-6 days a week. And so I am a premium wrestler that only not everybody, you know, could bring aboard. So Impact way back in April, one of those bookings, one of those 10 to 12 bookings a year that I've been doing at first for WrestleCon in April. And Sabu and I wrestled the Lucha Brothers. And then afterwards, they kept both of us around for a little bit, you know, I agreed to a handful of more matches and then another handful of matches recently that will keep me with Impact until at least January.
Nice. Well, physically, how are you holding up, Rob? I mean, you've worked a pretty, you know, Impact heavy style here for many years.
Yeah, I have. And I do feel it, you know, I still stretch. And so I'm still able to move. I still have my flexibility. I can still do the splits, and I can still leap up to the top rope and do the frog splash. But yeah, all of the banging that I've done to my body has added up, you know, to a lot of bone spurs, arthritis, compressed disc, little things like that. And there's also a lot of injuries that go undiagnosed that add up, you know, to a point to where sometimes they stand out enough to where, okay, that one might be staying with me. I'm always thinking whenever I get hurt, like, okay, is this going to stay with me forever now? Am I going to have a bad elbow now? And then it goes away, you know, for the most part. There's a few things, though, like I said, compressed discs and some breaks. But I feel pretty good. And at the end of this month, I will be going to South America and getting stem cell therapy. I'm pretty excited about that. There's a doctor down there, David Truitt, and he's been hooking the boys up.
Yeah.
And they've been coming back with miraculous results. I talked to Ryback, and he really got me excited about it. But the guy took care of Kevin Nash, Rey Mysterio, Johnny Morrison, Brian Cage, I believe, is down there right now, Matt Hughes. So you'll probably be hearing about this quite a bit in the business. They're able to do stuff down there with a massive number of fresh stem cells that they're not able to do here. And, you know, they say it doesn't cure cancer and it won't cure you from being deaf, but it seems like just about everything else that I've heard of, stem cells might be an option. So I'm looking forward to it. Just, you know, just talking to the guy, and he just made me sound like, you know, hey, I feel pretty good, but sounds like maybe I'll feel even better. And, you know, there's nothing nothing better than quality of life, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that has been a big thing recently. Everybody you just said that's gone and got that stem cell surgery. Are there any worries for you about having to go to another country to get some kind of surgery done like this?
No, not in that matter, because, you know, Ryback told me that he had had like 11 stem cell procedures in the United States before this. And he said when he went there, he said, first off, the results were just night and day, how much that helped him. But also he said the facilities were the exact same as far as the sanitary environment. And it's supposed to be beautiful down there. You know, like part of the deal is they want you to bring a companion and enjoy the Medellin. And they hook you up on these, you know, what do you call the trips, tours or whatever, if you want to do. But I am very concerned about getting needles in my back. You know, that's like something I was told in most fans wouldn't know how banged up all of us are. But you can assume 30 years with my style. You know, people don't know, but I have a broken wrist since 93. It's been 26 years. I broke it in the match with Dory Funk Jr. and it never sat right. And I have like deteriorating bone in there where there's no blood supply. And I just lived with it. But I mean, it hurts like every day, sometimes way worse than other times. There's little things that nobody would, you know, guess like that I've just lived with throughout my career, but sure would be amazing if this could fix it.
Man.
And part of that, by the way, what I was going to get to was I went to Cedars-Sinai back in like 2012, I believe. Yeah. And, cause I was having, back issues, and they told me back then that I was a surgery candidate because of bone spurs, compressed discs and arthritis. And that's not stuff that I usually talk about. So people think I'm made of rubber. And this is all about image, you know, so that's great. You know, I'm still a superhero to people, but in fact, all of that stuff has only gotten worse. But you know, they showed me the epidural needle way back then and I didn't want anything to do with it. And unfortunately they're going to have to shoot an epidural needle in to know me before they stick a whole bunch of needles in my spine. And yes, I am very concerned about that. Like my hands get sweaty just thinking about it.
Yeah. That's very painful. Well, back to Impact here, you know, how has it been working with Impact Management this time around? Maybe even compared to your previous runs with Impact Wrestling or TNA.
Yeah. So good this time, you know, like, last time it really felt more like everyone in the dressing room was really competing with me, you know, and I don't know if I made it up in my head, but it felt more like I don't want to say resentment, but I mean, everyone there knew that I was making more money than them. I mean, not Sting or Hogan or, but you know, but people know, I think out there, cause they don't see me every weekend on all the shows. They know promoters ask everyone that I know to try to get my number to book me. And so, but this time around, man, everyone is so cool and they've all, not all of them, but most of them, a lot of them, and the whole vibe that's through there is such that, you know, they grew up watching me. Sometimes they tell me, dude, you're the reason that I'm wrestling right now, man. And I used to pretend I was you. And that just, you know, how can that not go a long way in the heart? You know what I mean? Like that means a lot at the risk of marking out. And they'll even say that. I don't care if I sound like a mark, dude, I'm just going to open up right now, man. It's so awesome to share a dressing room with you. So the boys, you know, they treat me with a lot of love and respect. And I'm not like a locker room leader or anything. If somebody wants advice, I'll give it to them. Otherwise, you know, I'm just, over in the corner stretching, doing my ninja thing. But, it's in the office, as well, you know, they treat me with respect and, it's designed as such, you know, from the agreement that we made, but it's so cool. And, you know, as far as what I'm interested in, which is a lesser workload, it's perfect for me.
How
hopefully having my name and my matches and whatever else they got from having me on board, hopefully that will you know, help the company out and draw attention enough or make the show good enough or whatever. And when it doesn't, you know, then I guess, you know, they'll have to save their money and use everything less. But right now they just seem to want to put me on like all the shows that I can do. And they seem excited to have me. And I feel very appreciated. It's a very rewarding time in life to be RVD right now.
How did Impact Management feel about you showing up on the Raw reunion a couple weeks ago?
They gave me permission to do it, written permission, and just said they were curious about, you know, about it. But they didn't say, but I could only imagine that they probably thought it was cool. Scott DeMore is the guy I deal with. He's mm-hmm. he's the one that hired me and the guy that I always talk to. And he has said before when promoting my movie Headstrong, which you can watch on iTunes and he had said before, hey, anything that helps you helps us. So I think that that's the attitude there.
Very cool. Well, you're a big name in Impact Wrestling, another big name coming to Impact Wrestling. Ken Shamrock, what do you think about Ken Shamrock joining Impact Wrestling right now, the original TNA champion?
Is he? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he was the original TNA NWA champion.
Wow, very cool to know. I'm excited about it. I like Ken. I respect Ken. I haven't seen him in years, and probably only like once in like, I can't even imagine, 15 years or so. It's like, don't bump into him very much. And so it's pretty exciting to know that he's coming. And I met him in 91 when I was wrestling. I was only 20 years old. Wrestling for a company in Charlotte, North Carolina, called South Atlantic Wrestling. And Ken Shamrock was wrestling as a character named Vince Torelli. That was his wrestling name. And he just looked great. Just looking at him doing standing jumps to warm up for his match, he looked so athletic. And the boys told me at that time that, you know, he was like the last guy that you would want to mess with. They said that he won the last 5 tough man contests in the city. And that Manny Fernandez, who's known to be a bad dude, you know, take on several guys in a bar, and he was running the company. There was a locker room legend going around because they got in a heated discussion one time. And I guess, I don't know exactly, but Shamrock, you know, was the aggressor and backed Manny into a wall. And then just the fact that Manny didn't want any of him in front of all the boys went a long way. You know, he's the real deal. So I respect him, and I'm looking forward to him teaching Moose a couple things, because Moose does have a couple things to learn.
Yeah, talk to me a little bit about Moose here. You both seem to have Moose in your crosshairs here. What do you think of old Moose here?
Overall, you know, I like him, and I respect, you know, his past, you know, that he's on. But he is, you know, he does have, he does have some things to learn, and, as a lot of the guys do, you know, just after being in it for so long, you see certain things, that somebody needs before they're, you know, going to be like, the whole package, or before they are going to be as good as they're going to get. And so he's still on his way up, you know what I mean? And Shamrock, geez, you know, like I said, he's been around it as long as me. I wonder how long he was wrestling back then in 91, because I was only doing it like a year and a half at that time. We probably started around the same time, or maybe he even wrestled before me. So experience goes a long way. But I like Moose. I think he's got a lot of ability. You know, he seems like, I saw his promo he did on Ken Shamrock, and all he said was exactly what I said to Moose. I said, you know, dummy, you saw me, you know where the money is, you came after me because, you know, this is going to be the main event match, and which is what he did. And they turned around and said the same thing. So I'm glad to inspire, glad I could rub off on everybody. That's what being an OG is all about. But yeah, hopefully I'm not done with being in the ring with Moose, because I would still like to teach him a thing or two myself.
Yeah. Lastly here, I'll kick it to what you got coming up this weekend here. Of course, Impact Wrestling is heading to Vegas for the latest TV tapings. What do you think fans can expect from these shows, and what does Rob Van Dam like to do when he gets to Vegas?
Well, so first off, I love the city of Las Vegas. I love it so much that I actually moved here at the beginning of the year.
Oh.
And I'm in Las Vegas, right? Yes, sir. I have, when I said that it's a very rewarding time to be RVD, I mean it every single way. If you haven't seen my girlfriend, Katie Forbes, Google her immediately and you'll agree with me. It's very good to be RVD. We love this city. We love, I have the dream house. I live in paradise and I'm so happy in every way. Sam's Town is a regular stop for wrestling. The fans in Las Vegas are familiar with going to Impact shows there and Ring of Honor shows there, probably some other ones. This will be my first time wrestling at Sam's Town at this particular venue. But hey, I'm already here. And so, dude, I'm going to have hometown advantage. You know what I mean? I'm sleeping in my bed the night before with Katie Forbes, by the way. And then, you know, it'll be a short drive for me to go to the arena. So, shoot, I might even do my ninja stretching beside my pool before I go.
Well, Rob, it's always great talking with you. I'm looking forward to seeing you when you come to Chicago here for Bound for Glory with Impact Wrestling in just a couple of months as well. Is there anything else you want to plug, put over here before we wrap up the interview?
You can follow me at The Real RVD. And if you haven't seen my documentary, Headstrong, I think that you should. At first, I laughed when fans said that it was important. And then all the feedback I'm getting on how inspiring it is, I realize it is important because I want to keep the conversation about concussions going. And that's what my movie Headstrong ends up being about, unintentionally, checking my own brain out after having over 500 concussions in my career myself. So my friends are offing themselves. They're getting concussions and then leading to depression, and then they're going down an ugly path. And I'd like to put a stop to that. So let's start by talking about it. And we'll talk about it if we watch Headstrong.
Michael Wiseman here with Wrestling Inc. Here with Fred Rosser.
You look familiar.
You look familiar. We talked just a few months ago. It feels like WrestleCade.
You know, I pay for these interviews, man, so this is very exclusive.
You're going to pay me for these interviews?
No, I get paid to do these interviews, but this is very special.
Oh, this...
Very special. I'm doing it for you.
Oh, for me. I appreciate that. I don't have any money.
A second time. I'm not asking you for money. Well, I'm telling you, I get paid to do these interviews, but you're someone special.
Well, I question the credibility of those outlets that pay you for interviews. But number two, you know, I don't talk to every wrestling talent twice, ever. I'm just excited to see you here again.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, WrestleCade's a great... I'm glad we got to talk at WrestleCade because that's a super awesome event they do every year. And just a plug for WrestleCade. If you ever can make it there, go to that event because it's a fan's dream. Anyway, I'm here to talk to you. I see your mom over there. You guys are all geared up.
She's my... mommy guard, my bodyguard.
Is she fighting off the fans as they come up for autographs, or is she kind of bringing the kids up first?
I'm a handsome young man, you know? So people, you know, they can look, but they can't touch.
Oh, there you go.
You
well,
know what I mean? So she's my mommy guard.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that an extra tier of payment as well, since you're all about the money?
I don't work for free. I don't work for free. You got to show me the money if you want to see some skin.
There you go. Well, speaking of work, kind of what's going on in your neck of the woods? I know we got Block the Hate as a really important cause for you.
Block the Hate movement is still running wild. Yeah. It was running wild when I met you, and it's still running wild.
It seems like bigger and bigger. I know you were given an award just a couple of months ago for all of your work here.
Yeah, I mean, can any other WWE superstar say that they got the key to the city of Miami Beach? I got a motherfucking key to the city, Miami Beach. I'm sorry. I try to keep it PG.
Well, you know.
But, like, it's an honor for me.
Sure.
Key to the city, Vanguard Award that is given to a celebrity for all the work they do. I'm the superhero for the community. And I won't stop till I'm 6 feet under.
Yeah.
Anyone that gets bullied for various reasons, gay, straight, it don't matter. You know, we're here to work together. And if you can play, you can play. That's what it's all about.
Sure.
That's why I'm here at StarCast. I'm going to have to probably get in the back door at All Out. You know, I'm trying to make moves, man.
Back door at All Out. Are we saying we might see you tomorrow night?
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't want to get arrested or anything. You know, we're in Chicago, but I'm going to have to bust down some doors.
Where can wrestling fans, where should they look for you to pop up here in the next couple of months?
Well, honestly, all of 2019, I haven't done any wrestling except for, like, speaking engagements.
Sure.
And I'm getting involved into the CBD world as an athlete because, you know, it's starting to get big, and it's very beneficial for athletes. No one should be hooked on opiates and all that other stuff, so I'm becoming a little bit of a businessman. But I'm actually going to be wrestling in a couple weeks in North Carolina.
Okay. Where in North Carolina?
Kingsburg or okay. something like that. So it's all on my social media, Twitter, Instagram, at Real Fred Rosser. Sure. So me, I always say CTE. I can't remember right now, so you have to go to my Instagram to see what's going on.
Sure.
My Twitter, Instagram to see where I'm going to be at. So a little wrestling in September, October. Hopefully I can wrestle in Singapore in November. That's a goal of mine. I never wrestled.
Is this in advance of you kind of gearing back up next year in 2020 to be kind of back in the ring on a more full-time basis? Or?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm doing these interviews. I'm putting myself out there. I'm saying that I want to work and I want to continue to wrestle. I still have a lot left in the tank. And, I still have a lot left to offer.
What's next for the wrestling ahead? You know, maybe 2020, we're going to see you back in the ring. But for the Block the Hate campaign, for all the work, we know you're a huge inspiration to so many. We know your mom was a huge inspiration to you. Yeah. What's next for the Block the Hate campaign? Or what are the other walls and barriers you want to help break down now with All Elite Wrestling talking about equality being part of their whole gimmick for their promotion?
Well, like I said, I got to continue to keep talking to schools. I got to keep inspiring the kids. I want people, I always say, whether it's on the big screen, which I'm out in California, I always say just because moves aren't being announced doesn't mean moves aren't being made. I'm out in California living, acting class, doing little small roles here and here and there, which you can see on my Twitter and Instagram.
Nice. You want to tease one of those? Is there an indie movie coming up you're going to be in? Is there a play? Or?
Well, I had a small cameo that was featured in the American Black Film Festival in Miami, a different film festival. Yeah. I had a little cameo in a romantic comedy, His, Her, and the Truth. So all that, the clips of it and all that stuff can be on my social media and all that stuff. So like I said, whether it's on my social media or on the big screen, I want people to see me, who identify with me, and say, well, if he can do it, then so can I.
Two final questions here for you. Number one, you know, if somebody had to ask you right now, you're doing some acting, you got pro wrestling, which one are you kind of more focused on, more passionate about at this juncture? Had to pick one.
That's a good question, man. Well, I've been a fan since I came out the womb when it comes to wrestling.
Yeah.
So, damn, I'll wrestle till I can't anymore, you know? I can't anymore. But I always have to say wrestling, you know? But like I said, one monkey don't stop no strokes. So I got to keep it moving. If I can't wrestle, I got to get into somehow in Hollywood. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and final question along that lines. If wrestling is where it's at for you, if you could pick somebody out there right now that's active to either partner with or to wrestle against, who's your dream opponent right now out there in the scene of professional wrestling?
Dream opponent. Dream opponent would have to be Sonny Kiss.
Okay.
I'm going to whoop his ass.
All right.
Yeah, but like I said, so much good talent out there. Like I said, I'm a fan till the day I die. So dream opponent would have to actually be Moxley.
Okay.
I would love to do a hardcore match with him, like a death match. Like,
are you much of a? I was gonna say, are you? I haven't seen a whole lot of death matches that you've been in the past.
Exactly. So why not? Right?
All right.
Why not do a little death match? Some color. Get some color. Right.
All right. Book it, Moxley Rosser, man. This is gonna be fantastic. Block. I don't know. Moxley's got quite a bit of hate in him, so he might have to.
Well, I'm gonna beat the hell out of him if I could. I love him though.
There we go.
I love him.
Sammy, you've got your YouTube channel, Sammy Guevara, on YouTube, which people should obviously subscribe to. Once you are officially on TNT every single week, is that going to continue, and what is that content going to look like?
I get a lot of those questions. I feel like there'd be no reason to stop it. It's another platform for to promote AEW as well as promote myself. So I see a ton of cameras right here. So, yeah, go make sure to go subscribe. Sammy Guevara on YouTube.
You've been on the blog post about training, getting ready for this weekend kind of in particular. You know, there's not anything announced, but is there anything that you can tell us that you were particularly getting ready for?
I mean, I'm always getting ready for, you know, an opportunity. I'm not going to spoil anything, but you never know what can happen in wrestling. I brought my gear, so I'm not saying I'm wrestling tomorrow, but you never know what can happen. Someone can get hurt. So I'm always ready for an opportunity, even if the opportunity's not there.
So if you could have that opportunity to fight somebody or wrestle somebody in AEW, who do you want to fight tomorrow night, looking at Darby Allin? Who are we talking about here?
Whoever's going to give me the most eyes, you know? They got that pretty title, so I feel like it'd look a lot better on me.
With you vlogging on the road all the time, what are some of the biggest things that you notice
cause drawbacks or things that you run into that are problems while trying to do that while doing your thing at a show?
I mean, it's just another thing to worry about. It's like, oh, I got to get content as well as worry about my match. But I somehow make it work.
So. Sammy, they announced you and Cody for the first AEW show in TNT. And, you know, Cody's so far worked with Darby Allin. He's kind of trying to work with the younger guys and stuff. For you, is there a pressure on that? Because that show that night, it's not just AEW. There's another show as well.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling going into that now with all the elements?
Oh, it's definitely, like you said, it's going to be a lot of pressure. Very first match in the TV history. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I feel like a lot of people are writing me off. They think, oh, Cody's just going to get the W. You know, but I'm Sammy Guevara. I'm the best ever. I feel like this interview is the best ever simply because I'm here, right? And October 2nd, I feel like I'm going to prove that once again that I'm Sammy Guevara, the best ever. It doesn't matter who I'm in the ring with. Cody Rhodes, cool. You know, he's got the big name. He's been all over the world. But to me, he's just the body in the way of where I'm trying to get to.
You've been pretty vocal about the pressures of traveling and how tiring that can be. Now that you're going to be going to city every single week, what are you looking forward to and or kind of not looking forward to going forward?
I feel like it's going to be better than how it's been because I've traveled like 4 days in a row, 5 a.m. flights every single day. This, it's just Wednesdays, you know, right now at least. And then maybe a pay-per-view or whatever on a Saturday, Sunday. So I feel like it's going to be a much better schedule for me in the beginning at least.
Sammy, being the first ever one-on-one match in AEW's history at Double or Nothing and then being the first ever one-on-one match on TV, how does that feel?
Oh, I mean, it's what I've worked my entire life for. And what a way to start off, right? You want the most eyes on you. You want the most eyes to keep watching the show. So put the best ever on first. And I'm going to show everybody watching exactly why AEW is the show to watch.
Sammy, you said you're the best ever, but
yeah.
Tomorrow, the best in the world is going to be a StarCast to do a panel,
who?
CM Punk.
Oh, okay.
And there's talk he might show up. He might show up at the pay-per-view. Is he someone that you would like to get in the ring with?
If I want to bless him by letting him be across the ring with me, then sure. I feel like a lot of people, that'll have a lot of eyes on it, right? But if he does, it'll be a mistake. He should have stayed retired. If he wants to return, I'll prove that it's a mistake for him.
Sammy, talk about working with the British guys, with Kip and with Jimmy, because, you know, coming from Mexico, Britain, very different styles.
Oh, Kip, he's super good. You know, I wasn't too familiar with him until, what was the show called, Double or Nothing? Yeah, no, he's super good, and I think it's good that he's a part of AEW. And, you know, I didn't get the W against him that night, so I'm looking to get a rematch with him.
You've got your loyal fans, the Panda fan that has been following you, and obviously you're really close to them. They give you bang drinks and other, like, presents throughout.
Oh, yeah.
Are you worried about moving forward with AEW that you might not have that same interaction with them?
No, like... I always know, like, once you grow, you know, maybe the loyalty, like, the diehards, I feel like they'll always be there. But I'm not expecting to get gifts like I got today. I got so many gifts. It was insane. I have the whole entire bag of Dragon Ball Z stuff. But, you know, it's a give and take. So I may not get the same gifts, but my social media is all the fans online. That'll all grow, even if the gifts don't come. You know?
What's the craziest gift you've ever gotten?
I got a bag of dicks one time, a bag of gummy dicks. let me specify.
Did you eat the bag of dicks?
I had to. I had to try it, you know?
So we're talking about how this is an exciting time in your career right now, right? And how much is going on for you. But thinking ahead to the future, what is it you want to be known for? People look back on your career 30, 40 years from now, and what is the thing that you want to be your legacy?
Just a kid who tried and did it and made it happen. You know, that's another thing why I do these videos online and all that. It's not only to show my journey, but to show kids that have something they want to do that maybe people tell them they can't do. I want to show them that, hey, I did it, and there's no reason why you can't do it too.
Who was your inspiration to get in the game?
That'd be Rey Mysterio, and I got to wrestle him 2 times, so that was like my idol growing up, and to be able to get in the ring with him, go across the ring with him was like a dream come true pretty much.
What are your thoughts on Rey's future since they've been talking about retirement and all those kind of things?
I haven't even been paying attention to it, to be honest.
Couple more guys.
Out of your 4 bosses, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, and Cody, who's your favorite boss and why?
Oh, man.
Way to put somebody on the spot.
Dude, see, I'm wrestling Cody, the first one, so I'm going to have to just go with Cody on that one, right? Yeah.
You talked a lot about raising your profile. How much does AEW raise your profile here in America particularly?
Oh, big time. You know, I was going to Mexico and Japan and all that. But, yeah, definitely ever since AEW started, it's been crazy the amount of interactions I get online.
Follow-up question to your earlier question about bosses. You have a lot of executive VPs who are professional wrestlers, and then you have Tony Khan at the top. What's the dynamic like working for that entire group of bosses?
What do you mean dynamic?
So Tony Khan is obviously a huge professional wrestling fan, right. Followed up with having Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega there as professional wrestlers. Do you ever see the push and pull between fans and pro wrestlers, the creative structure? How does all that play out for a wrestler like yourself?
For me, I've had no problems so far. It's been going pretty smoothly. I feel like everybody kind of knows what they're doing. Everybody has a good mind for the business. And I think it's something different. You know, I've dealt with other promotions, other shows, where it doesn't feel this smooth. You know, it doesn't run that smoothly. I don't know. So far it's been good.
When you found out that there was going to be another show on Wednesday nights at the same time as AEW, how did you find out and what was your reaction?
I just saw like the social media, like the rumors or whatever. And then when it was official, I was like, wow, we're in the Wednesday Night Wars. That's the same that's going around. It's wild, you know. Like I said, this is all I've ever wanted to do. And to now be going head-to-head with NXT, it's a wild life we live, you know. And nothing's impossible. But I'm going to prove, you know, first match ever, that our show is the best show.
Last one, guys. With all the decision makers being such fans of wrestling, how do you think that that's going to affect the product, and how do you think that'll help AEW as a whole?
What was this question?
So with all the decision makers being the Bucks, Cody, you know, Tony being a big fan, and they've all talked about how they're all still fans, do you think that that helps the overall dynamic for AEW, and it'll help you guys have a better product as opposed to what we see in other places?
Oh, for sure. I mean, when you see that people are passionate about what they do, I feel like they're trying to put on the best product that there is. When there's people lacking passion or just have no idea what the business is, you see that stuff doesn't make sense, blah, 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 other stuff. But so far, I feel like we're in the right track, and I feel like it's just going to keep growing from here.
Thank you, Justin, for joining me at the top of the show to talk the news of the day. Thank you to Rob Van Dam, Impact Wrestling, Darren Young, Michael Weissman, Sammy Guevara, StarCast, AEW. Thank you all for contributing to making today's show what it was, which was an amazing bit of audio for your ear holes. We are going to be back tomorrow. We have an interview that our good friend Andy Malinowski did with none other than WWE Hall of Famer Jerry Lawler. That is going to air tomorrow. That took place at the Gathering Pro Wrestling Conference. I believe it was in Charlottesville or Charlotte, North Carolina. Also on the show tomorrow, we're going to have the full audio for two more StarCast media scrums. We're going to do the audio from the Dean Malenko scrum, and you are going to get to hear from Orange Cassidy on tomorrow's show. So definitely come back for that one. And if you like all the shows we do here at Wrestling Rink, Wrestling Inc., all the podcasts, be sure to go over to the Wrestling Inc. audio channel on iTunes. 5-star ratings, nice comments, always appreciated. Justin, is there anything you want to plug, promote, put over here to wrap up the show today?
September 13th, IWC Wrestling. We're doing a show at Wheeling Island Casino in Wheeling, West Virginia. Kevin Nash doing a meet and greet. Wardlow, who of course was homegrown in IWC Wrestling, going to AEW, but he will be at the show performing. So it's going to be a great show. Wheeling Island Casino, great night. So come, you know, Kevin Nash meet and greet at 5. Pro Wrestling after that. I believe it will be live streamed too. I don't have that information offhand, but if you can get to Wheeling, West Virginia, come see me, Kevin Nash, Wardlow, all of us will be a good time, September 13th.
You know what? I just saw Wardlow too. Wardlow, a part of Warrior Wrestling 6, the show I talked about earlier. It was in a tag match. I believe he tagged with Brian Pillman Jr. So if you want to watch that, go over to highspots.com, find Warrior Wrestling 6. There's a little cheap plug for you, Principal Steve. Yeah, that was a great show. I get to call those shows with Rich Bikini. I'm working Rudo, I guess is what I was told. I'm the bad guy on commentary now. I feel very cool that was said to me, so who knows. All right, I am at Wink Rebel over on Twitter. Thank you so much for tuning in, and remember, if you winked, you didn't miss it.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.